5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole all my oney bats when she was drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flights of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess this town's a tad of my friends. Splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's kicking? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. And I'm on the games going on. Yankees lead 4-3 over the Rays in game one of the division series at Petco. In the top of the sixth, and a runner on first, but they'll get out of this jam, the Rays, and go to the bottom of the sixth, down a run. You got Frazier a home run, Judge a home run, and getting Shiggy with it with a home run. Cole's personal catcher hit one out. So this guy Choi hit a home run. In the game as well, off of Cole. He's given up two home runs in the game. Choi's was a two-run shot, and earlier in the game, he gave up a home run, and I'm trying to think of who hit that one. At the beginning of the game, it was Rosarena hit the home run to dead center, 4-10. So 4-3 Yankees going to the bottom of the sixth. As far as the NFL goes, the Chiefs easily beat the Patriots 26-10 at Arrowhead. And Jarrett Stidham certainly helped out. One of them was a receiver drop that led to a Tyrann Mathieu pick six hizzy that blew the game open. Right now, Falcons down 13-3 to the Packers in the second late.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so earlier, Rodgers had thrown a touchdown pass to Tanyan for 19 yards, and then Crosby missed the extra point. That made it 13-3 Packers, and now they have the ball back with, I think, about, a minute and a half left somewhere in that neighborhood during a timeout. So they got the ball back, and they're at midfield with Rodgers. Obviously going to have a chance here to get something out of this before the half. So the Falcons stop the Packers at the goal line on a fourth and goal from about a foot out. And they snuffed the run. And otherwise it would have been 14 zip early. That kept it 7 zip. And then they got a field goal, the Falcons. And then they allowed the pass from Rodgers to Tanyan that made it 13-3. Crosby misses the extra point. So here's Rodgers again with another opportunity against the, let's just face it, lowly Falcons. It's funny to me watching the game, listening to the announcers, Levy, Greasy, and Riddick. And no disrespect to them. I know Steve. I'm cool with Steve. I know Greasy, too. I've had dealings with him. I don't know Lewis Riddick. But they were trying to sell how loaded the Falcons are with talent. And then, you know, they were talking about Matt Ryan's got the full repertoire out here tonight. He's got just studs at every position, that they are just absolutely loaded. And I'm sitting there, I'm going to vomit. Loaded. Are you kidding me? They can't even win a game. I mean, like, I was like, what are you watching? What team are you talking about? I know you must be talking about the Packers, because they were talking about the Falcons being loaded. What is loaded if you can't win a game? I want to know what loaded is. How do you even describe it when you can't win a game? And you're loaded? What is it when you suck? I'd love to hear what the team looks like then. I mean, honestly, you've got to be able to win a game, one game. And then maybe I could start talking about, you know, thank God they have Jones and Ridley, because there is nothing else on that team that I would deem some kind of star player. Who is it? Loaded. Full repertoire. I mean, are you kidding me? What? I mean, can you not BS the real fans that know something about football? I mean, can we just watch the game and you call the game and don't try to sell us your game because you're trying to keep us interested? We're interested because we're betting on the game. Believe me, we don't need you to help us hold our hand through the game and try to sell us that the Falcons are loaded. I mean, are you kidding me? We have been talking about how crappy this team is for a month, how they blow every game they're in. Have they not been terrible? I mean, let's just stop. Can we just, you know, end all the charade of trying to sell the Falcons? What they're trying to do is they're on Monday Night Football, so they're trying to keep you hooked on this game so that they can get ratings. That's what it's about, because is there any reason whatsoever on the face of the earth to talk anything glowingly about the Falcons at all? No, there isn't. They've done nothing right. They have been the butt of jokes in the NFL this year. I mean, right now they're the epitome of the worst team in the league. Now, I would agree that they shouldn't be the worst team in the league. I would agree that they have talent. I would agree that they had some games won, but they didn't win any of them. They blew all of them. They blew the game in Dallas. They blew the Bears game. I mean, all they do is blow games. It's unbelievable to me that anyone could, in a right state of mind, just not tell it like it is. This team is jinxed. They haven't won a game. They've been awful. They choke. They bleed in the second half. And in the fourth quarter, they're a train wreck. That's who they are. I can't believe that. And they won't even say that Dan Quinn, instead of saying Dan Quinn should be fired, they're saying Dan Quinn is going to go for it all night on fourth down because he's got nothing to lose except his job. So I don't know what I'm listening to, but I thank God I'm doing the radio show now, so I don't have to listen to it anymore. All the BS coming out of their mouths trying to sell me the Falcons. Are you kidding me? I mean, stop already. I lived in Atlanta. Everybody knows me in Atlanta. I'm cool with Atlanta. This has nothing to do with your fans, your team, your friendships, your loyalties, your fandom, all that other nonsense. The bottom line is they're pikers. They have been piking since the Super Bowl with the Patriots, and Dan Quinn's been in charge of all of it. And they just love him to death. They think he's the greatest coach ever as he just continues to rack up L's. Are they not right now losing this game as well? They're down 10. I mean, it should have been 14-0. Then you score another one, it'd be 21-0. But Mason Crosby can't kick an extra point. And they just gave him a deal this year, I think. Pretty sure they did, to keep him around. And the extra point now in the NFL has become it's futility central is what it is. These guys miss left and right. And especially when it matters, they miss left and right. There's nothing more dangerous now than the extra point in the NFL, a 33-yard nightmare. And you're going to see it, too. I guarantee it. In the playoffs, I promise you it's going to happen. You're going to get a team that's going to come back in a game, trailing in the game. They're going to come back all the way back. They're going to score with 5 seconds left in the game. And then the kicker's going to miss the extra point that would send the playoff game into overtime. I promise you it'll happen. You know it's going to happen. And it's worse when you come back. When you come back from a deficit and you're down 2 scores, whatever, in the fourth quarter, you come roaring back and you've got the game. You score. Now all you need is the extra point, and then the guy misses. And then you're going to lose. And then they want to, kill the guy after the game. Don't tell me. And the Packers just scored a touchdown, too, with 45 seconds left in the half. So the Falcons are just awesome. They're just so loaded. I mean, they are so loaded. I mean, honestly, they are. I mean, Steve Levy right now is telling you and Brian Greasy that the Falcons' future is so bright with their new stadium, and their, fans are so loyal, and they have Matty Ice, and they got so many deep at every position, stockpiled in depth and talent. They are so loaded. I mean, they are an AK-47. They're just,
I'll tell you what they're saying right now, Scott.
What a juggernaut.
Without even having the sound on, you know what they're going to say right now? Is that they're going to say that, well, you know what, they're down now, but if any team has the talent to be able to come back on offense, it's the Atlanta Falcons because they're loaded and they have so many players. And the thing was, the team's always been loaded on offense, and they just kept adding on offense. The problem was that they couldn't stop anybody. So I don't care how loaded they get on offense. If you don't stop, you don't get stops, and you're just playing shootout every game, you lose, and that's been their problem for years now.
They're down 20-3 now. It'll be halftime soon. In about 40 seconds, it'll be halftime. And, you're right. They don't play defense. Their defense is terrible. And I got to tell you, I don't even believe anymore, to be honest with you. I'm not afraid of Matt Ryan anymore at all. I mean, I'm really not. I think the guy's definitely a good quarterback. I don't, I don't think he's great. I think he's good. That's about it. I'm not going to sit here. We've already seen everything else happen. The Super Bowl failures, all these losses ever since. They don't matter. They just they're really insignificant at the end of the day. Right now, they're in a position where they're the worst team in the league. And people are always talking about how great Matt Ryan is. I mean, these are the same people trying to sell me that Dan Quinn's a great coach. I mean, they're just not getting it done, either one of them.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Farrell on a bench. So I just heard that Connor McDavid, the Oilers star, has COVID-19 now. I mean, who doesn't have it? This really should become the story. I mean, is there anyone left that doesn't have it? I mean, honestly, it's everywhere. It's unavoidable. I'm surprised I haven't had it. We know all kinds of people now that have had it. I know multiple people that have it. It's just insane. And then today, it was like, we just kept hearing Kevin Sumlin, Bobby Bowden. You got to worry about Bobby Bowden. He's 90. And, they've threatened about that since the jump, that if you're old and you have pre-existing conditions, that you're basically doomed. And then just every day, it's like shocking, right? Cam Newton on Saturday, it just never ends. Mike Blewett is the host of College Football Today and Pro Football Today on Sports Grid. And we're going to bring him on now, do a double shot with him. The Yankees are still up 4-3 on the Rays, and we're going to the bottom of the seventh at Petco in San Diego. The Astros today were winners 10-5 over the A's in game one of that division series. There's four games tomorrow. We'll get into that later. Let's bring in our boy, Blue. How you doing, Blue? Hope everything's all right, buddy.
Good. I'm healthy as a horse. I'm one of the few people that does not have COVID right now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, Blue. So tell me what you think of, at the very least, because, they're out of the picture this week. The Steelers didn't get to play the Titans. How much did that bother you that they were 3-0, playing great, everything was in order, they were going to Smashville to take on an undefeated Titan team? If they beat them, they go to 4-0. How much do you think it kind of threw them off their course that they – A, didn't play, B, moved their bye to this week instead of later. Now they're playing week 7 and 8 against the Titans and Ravens back to back, and they're playing 13 straight weeks. It's brutal.
Yeah. Look, I think you and I have a very similar perspective on how to approach things during the virus. We understand how dangerous it is, and we've been cautious, and I think we're aligned in that way. But as we're parsing it as fans, like we're, of course, going to do at some point, the Steelers really did not make out well through all of this. The good news is that we have a highly accountable coach who is never going to make excuses. And I think as an organization and as players, and it eventually trickles down to your fan base, you're just sort of used to the coach talking in that way. And then you know they're not going to make any excuses about it. But the reality is getting the Titans and Ravens back to back is bad enough. And to not have a bye in there before or after you play the Ravens, when the Ravens now have one, is a rough deal. In a division that you and I think will probably be decided by a game, then that's a big advantage or disadvantage for the Steelers.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So earlier, I was watching this game that's on right now, and I don't know if you were watching in the moment when the Packers were playing the Falcons, but were you watching the game or were you watching the Yankee game?
I had all three things on at the same time, so I've been as focused as I can be.
All right. So did you catch the part when the three announcers were talking about how loaded the Falcons are and how they just are so deep at every position, and that Matt Ryan has his full arsenal tonight, and how they are just absolutely loaded? And I was sitting there going, oh, man, I'd hate to see if they weren't loaded what they'd be like with their winless season. And the fact that their quarterback doesn't get it done anymore, and the fact that their head coach should have been fired weeks ago, and maybe last year. And then I'm listening to these three guys trying to hook me into getting their ratings up on television, trying to sell the game to me when it should have been 14-0. Instead, they stopped them at the goal line. If not, it'd be 20-0 right now. Bottom line is, I couldn't even believe what I was listening to. Did you hear them say that, of talking how great the Falcons are? I wanted to puke.
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're trying to sell the game. And Matt Ryan does have a good arsenal of weapons, but Julio is banged up. Ridley's been awesome. And Gage has been really good too. But Todd Gurley played 53% of the snaps last week, so he isn't the same guy. And the defensive backfield, I don't know why they were saying that in the first place, because the defensive backfield was already the walking wounded, and they lost two guys tonight, one most likely for the season. DeMonte Casey left with an Achilles injury, and that didn't look good when he got carted off. So they are literally down to third stringers on the defensive backfield, and they ran a 10.5-minute drive, a good drive, to try and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, and they settled for a 23-yard field goal. If you're 0-3, I don't care what the yardage is, you got to go on fourth down. He's going to be fired this week if they go 0-4 with a performance like this. Why wouldn't you go?
I mean, it is unbelievable to me. Now, listen, they don't even have I will give you Jones and Ridley. And I think Hayden Hurst is a serviceable tight end. I think he's decent. I'm not scared of him at all. And there are no weapons. I'm sorry. When Jones plays once a month, I mean, because you know it's true. He plays once a month. I mean, he gets injured as much as Giancarlo Stanton. That guy is always on the sideline. Never
in 4 years.
Well, I mean, what do you need to know? How is that a loaded team? They are not loaded. They're awful. That's what they are. They are awful. Yeah. What is so hard about saying how bad they are when you are winless and you choke more than any team in NFL history? I've never seen a team choke in the Super Bowl, and then after that, they've gotten worse. They choked twice already this year, the Bears game and the Cowboy game, and you're trying to tell me they're loaded? I mean, how about you're loaded? You're full of Shaq is what you are.
They've blown massive leads twice, as you pointed out. From the moment that they blew the Super Bowl, and you know, I'm a homer in a lot of ways, and I love Matt Ryan because he's a BC guy and I'm a BC guy. So I'll get that out of the way. But from the moment that Super Bowl was blown, you could have made the prediction, and I would talk about it often on air, that I don't think they'll ever get back to it. And they've only gotten a lot worse since then. At this point, going 0-4, Arthur Blank is going to look at this and just try to get them to a bye week, maybe. But if they put out this performance, losing 20-3 at half, it's just I don't really see where you go from here.
You have to admit, like, because I watched Matt play at Chestnut Hill, not like you did. You were there, but. You've seen a lot more than I have at that place, right? Fair enough. But yeah. I just want to say, like, I like Matt. He's a good guy. There's no denying that everyone likes Matt Ryan. He's just a class act. But let's face facts. He is not what everyone thinks he is. Let's just be fair here for a minute. What has he done? I mean, he has racked up all kinds of yards and everything else, made it to the Super Bowl. I don't blame Matt Ryan for that Super Bowl loss at all. But I have to tell you, I do not see him getting better at all anymore. Those days are over. I actually, starting now, am saying I think he's become average. Like, he's just, what is so special about Matt Ryan anymore? Let's be honest.
So I still think he's a really good player, but I think you raise an interesting point, which is that even if he is not getting worse, people have surpassed him in play, right? We've seen a new crop of young quarterbacks, and you can rattle them off. Watson, Dak, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, all those guys you'd want more than you'd want Matt Ryan. So if at some point Matt Ryan, who won the MVP, was on the precipice of becoming a top five quarterback in the league, that is no longer the case. And you're paying him the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history when he signed it. And he still has the bugaboo of throwing the killer pick. I watched him do it in college, and I watched him do it in the pros. And I think overall he's a very good quarterback. He's building a Hall of Fame career in so far as having won the MVP, and he'll have 70,000 to 75,000 yards passing. It's going to be huge numbers. But it will always be the case with him that he is prone to a killer toner. It happened in one of these blown leads that they had earlier this month. So
the Bears game.
In that sense, you're right. Yeah, that's right.
Did you see that pass at the end of the Bears game that he threw that pick? And I was like, I was watching a game, and I'm sitting there going like, what just happened? How bad was that pass? It was so bad. I was like, I don't even recognize this guy anymore. Now, I don't deny his deserved MVP or the money that he got and everything else. It's the sign of the times. If you are hot in the moment, if you're a commodity, if like they even gave $90 million to Kirk Cousins. I mean, if you are a quarterback in the NFL, it's you're a product of your surroundings. If you're a starting quarterback and you're, let's say, above average, let's say you're above average, you're going to make a lot of money in the NFL these days being a quarterback. I don't care who you are. And the bottom line is when he was at the top of the heap, he made a ton of money deservedly. But I mean, at this point, he's not getting it done anymore. And that's just all there is. Now, I don't blame all of their problems at all on him. And I have to go to break. So we're going to come back and talk more about all the other stuff going around the NFL and the other game and everything.
Yep.
But I just want to say, like, I mean, bottom line is he's like a bank robber now. He's just basically fleecing them for all this money, and there's no results. I mean, I can't even believe that I'm sitting here talking to you and they haven't won a game yet. And like, I mean, that's amazing to me. It really is. We'll come back with Blue and talk more about the NFL and college on the bench. So earlier they were talking about how Dan Quinn's going to go for it all night on fourth down because their kicker's injured, their whole defense is injured, their secondary's injured. They're just going to go for it all night. It's because they're 0-4. They're 0-3. They have to go for it. If you know. So let me ask Blue, Mike Blewett from College Football Today, Pro Football Today. He's a badass. So if – you know, we were on Coast to Coast today and Bill O'Brien got fired right around, you know, whatever, 5 o'clock, whatever it was. And he was the GM and the coach. Obviously, you know all this. And fans, if you didn't, he had power in Houston. He was like in charge of all the, how should I put it, terrible decisions that have been made there the last couple of years. I mean, just one after the next. I mean, this guy, Hopkins, Clowney, Tunsil. Was that another one, Tunsil? I think it was.
Tunsil negotiated his own contract and he got $22 million a year.
Well, so, I mean, Bill O'Brien as an executive was an absolute train derailment, not even a train wreck, just a flat out train off the tracks flying through the air. And I have to say, I said this today and I'm going to say it again. People don't like hearing it. They get all worked up. Mafia knows what I'm going to do. But I went on the air today and I said it again, and I'm going to say it right now. I have known for years that ever since he'd been down there, people hated him. And then when I said it on the air, when I was at CBS, I got literally, and Mafia is my witness, did I get attacked or what? I mean, how bad? Like, was it? I had players threatening me.
The whole town was after you.
The whole town was after me. And I said, I know without a doubt, unequivocally, that there are players that play for him that can't stand him. They just can't even stand him. And they think he's a terrible coach. And I said it, and then they attacked me and blamed me. They said I shouldn't even have a job. I'm horrible. I have throat cancer. I'm the scum of the earth. I'm this, I'm that, I'm all this. And then I had players actually don't put my name in your mouth, saying stuff like that to me. Mafia, tell the truth. It's all true. And I said, then when they all said that to me, I said it again. I said, you're all a bunch of wussies because you don't have the stones to admit it. Just admit it that you don't like him. Who cares what he thinks of you? Who cares? You get paid millions of dollars to play. They're not. But you think that guy's going to lose any sleep because you don't like him? He's in charge. He's got all the power. So today I'm going to say it again. They got rid of that guy because he was losing horribly. They were going backwards, and he's made all these bad decisions that have cost the franchise just about everything they have, and no one likes him. He's had problems in the front office. He's had problems with coaches. He's had problems with players. No one wants to admit it. No one ever – it's so amazing to me. It's like we're talking about Jesus or something over here, but we're talking about a football coach that didn't get it done in Houston, and I know people don't like him, so they got rid of him. So my question is, what did you think of that? And why can you get rid of a guy like that so easily that has way more power than Dan Quinn, but you can't get rid of Dan Quinn and you can't get rid of Matt Patricia in Detroit? He's worse than both of them.
Yeah. So you've given me a lot to chew on there, but I'll take it one by one. The Dan Quinn conversation, I think, is pretty easy. I think it's a matter of when, not if. And I think Arthur Blank has given him a wide berth because I think Arthur Blank is a smart owner in the sense that he's taken counsel with other more experienced owners. And I think he understands that stability, like you have in Pittsburgh and New England and Baltimore, is the way through. But stability with a coach that isn't successful is obviously something you have to change at some point, and I think that will happen. To go back to the Texans, it looked to me, and many people, but very specifically to me, that each successive move he made as a GM was chasing his tail, and he was chasing his last move. He's like, all right, I got rid of Hopkins, I got to go out and get Cooks. I got rid of Clowney, I got to go out and get somebody else. And he was constantly chasing his tail on the last bad move that he made. I would submit to your point about the players. I don't think there's a person in the league with a bigger smile on his face right now than DeAndre Hopkins, because Bill O'Brien made a decision that, you know what, we're not going to pay this guy, so I'm going to trade him for 30 cents on the dollar, and I'll just move on to the next bad move I'm going to make. DeAndre Hopkins was the best player on your team, the second most valuable, because the quarterback is always going to be the most valuable in Watson. Gave Watson a bunch of money, and he wasn't even really letting him air it out. He's giving the ball to David Johnson, a running back that many people think his best days are behind him due to injuries or whatever reason. So it seems that in recent weeks and months, potentially, that Bill Easterby, who's the vice president of football operations in Houston and who had a long-term relationship with Bill O'Brien, it seems that they didn't see eye to eye. And as much power as Bill O'Brien had, being GM and coach, Easterby did have the ability to make decisions like this. And in conjunction with Cal McNair, the owner, they moved on. He put them in a huge hole. They have the largest salary cap in the league this year at $248 million. And if there's a rollback in the salary cap next year, it's going to make it even worse. So they have to dig out from a salary cap hell when they're 0-4. And they're not playing offense the right way. Can Romeo Crennel turn this around? I don't know. We've seen success stories with interim coaches. I certainly didn't think they'd be this bad. But it is worth noting that they had the hardest schedule in the league through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Well, and they did nothing with it. And they played a couple games at home and still got their ass beat. And they stink. And I got to tell you, I think you know as well as I do, their biggest problem is, and he just got so lucky, Ryan, on a pass that was deflected that should have been picked off. And somehow Zacharias made the catch on a deflection. That ball should have been picked off. Another bad pass by Matt Ryan. So anyway, let me go back to the other thing in terms of O'Brien. So he's, you know, that team, he's gone now. But that team, the biggest problem they had was that they never, even though you talk about Cooks and all these other guys, they never replaced. They don't have any star players that they can throw the ball to. Fuller's always injured. He's got all kinds of talent. There's no doubt. But I don't think he's got a future there. I really don't, because they paid him a lot of money. And he's never played, and he's been basically non-existent and never done anything except a couple of touchdowns here or there. And then as far as the other guys, not Stills, Cooks, those guys can't hold a candle to Hopkins. So the bottom line is they just have a team now with no talent. I mean, just average talent. It's not no talent. It's average talent. It's not great talent like they had. So you cannot get rid of guys, in my opinion, because you don't want to pay them because you're so cheap and your owner's so cheap. Why have a team? Why even have a team then if you're not going to spend money at all and you're going to put a hack product out on the field? I got to tell you, I wouldn't have traded Hopkins. I wouldn't have traded Clowney. I wouldn't have traded Tunsil. I wouldn't have traded any of those pieces. And that's all there is to it. And I know Hopkins is miserable because he has no one that he can count on to throw the ball to when he's in trouble. So they stink. Now let's go on real quick. The Patriots tonight. How bad was Brian Hoyer? Now explain to me how in God's name you get down to the 10-yard line twice and you get nothing out of it, not even a field goal. The first time he got sacked before the half, which was so embarrassing, I don't even know what happened. And then the second time he got down to the whatever, they got down to the 10 again. And what did he throw, a pick or something? No, he got sacked and fumbled. And so he's terrible.
He took the sack at the end of the first half, and then he fumbled in the second half.
Both of them were sacks. One was a sack with the clock ran out. Second one was a sack with a fumble. And then they put in Stidham. Now, Stidham threw a nice corner floater for a touchdown, but he threw a pick, which Matthew's pick was, I don't blame on Stidham. The receiver dropped the ball and it went right into Matthew's hands, and he went hizzy six to the house. So the other pass that he threw into the end zone was just a terrible pass that was behind the receiver, and the guy picked it off, and that was the end of the game. But, I mean, you can't deny the Patriots were down at the 10 twice. They should have gotten 3 or 7 out of one of those trips. Instead, they get nothing. Mike, you knew the game was over right then.
Yeah. You cannot. You actually had the Chiefs in a situation where they only had 6 points with a couple of minutes left in the third quarter. And Tyreek Hill scored that touchdown in the third quarter, about 3 minutes to go. So realistically, you had done as well as he could possibly do defensively against the Chiefs in Kansas City. And I said earlier tonight, it's as if Hoyer's internal clock was broken. He was just hanging on to the ball. He forgot how many timeouts he didn't have at the end of the first half and took a sack, where the only thing he had to do was throw it away, throw it through the end zone. They could have kicked a field goal. They would have been tied at halftime. And then in the second half, on the one that he fumbled, he was hanging on to the ball too long, just making mistakes. And it's not a team where you're going to make mistakes over and over again and keep getting a shot. Now, to Stidham's point, the one interception you said is not his fault. The other one, I appreciate to some level the irrational confidence of a young player thinking he could make that throw, which would have been a dime from 60 yards out, but you can't make that throw. And that's why he got picked off.
So is the game of the week this week? Two questions I got for you, 'cause I'm running out of time. Do the the Browns playing the Colts in Cleveland, both 3-1. That is stunning to me that they're both, 'cause the Colts defense is no joke. And I think Rivers looks solid and Taylor looks great. Frank Reich has something brewing there, and the Browns definitely have something brewing. And I hate to admit it because I've been making fun of them for 25 years, but they do not look funny to me anymore at all.
I think they found themselves a coach They obviously have a lot of explosive weapons. I don't know that they've played the toughest set of competition yet this season. Keep in mind, they played Dallas defense, who gave up 307 yards. They played Washington and Cincinnati, the only good team they played. They lost by over 30 points. So they did hit a soft spot in the schedule. They now play the Colts and the Steelers back-to-back. I think you'll know more about the Browns these next 2 weeks than you have learned about them through the first four. But to their credit, they're 3-1. It's been a long time. It's been 20 years almost since they were 3-1. The Colts were my favorite bet on the board all preseason long. And going over the total, I thought their schedule lined up well. I thought their division was a little soft with the Jags, and now we're seeing the Texans at 0-4. And I just think they play a really solid brand of football. It isn't flashy. I don't think they can win a Super Bowl, but I think they're going to rip off 10-11 regular season wins.
Wow. I got 30 seconds, Blue. Miami and Clemson this week. Can Miami give them a game at all? Are they for real, or is it all a joke?
I will believe Miami is for real when they actually pull it off consistently. I'm going to say no for now. I don't think they can pull off this upset.
All right, and then Pitt's playing in Chestnut Hill against BC. Can BC beat them as well? They played everybody tough. They played North Carolina tough.
Yeah, of course. Go Eagles. Why would I say anything different?
Listen to Blue getting all worked up about his Boston College Eagles. All right, Blue, enjoy the rest of the game and the Yankee game. Is 4-3 right now in the eighth. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Always a pleasure. We'll see you soon on Coast to Coast and on Sports Grid.
Here
he is, my man Blue, Mike Blewett. Yankees still up, one out, bottom of the eighth. The Rays are batting. Yeah, Mafia just told me that the Packers gave up a touchdown to the Falcons. The Falcons missed the extra point. That's two extra points missed tonight, one by each team. And I'm not surprised that the Falcons missed one because they don't have their kicker, as if any kicker is like so important that, you know, not having him would cost you a game or whatever, because the starters suck, let alone the backup kicker or whoever they use. I mean, let's face it. I said this earlier tonight, like, how many guys miss extra points now in the NFL? It's every week. It's just automatic. I mean, it happens left and right now. It's a no joke 33 yard. It's a field goal. It's not even an extra point. It's a field goal. And I know it seems easy. What was easy was that little chip shot they used to kick, and they made 99% of them. What's hard is a 33 yarder in conditions or wind or rain or whatever. It's just not easy anymore. And it's become a major problem. And it also, turn that double play, turn that. Oh, come on, Torres. He dropped the ball in his glove. Come on, bro. You got to turn that. So I just, you know, if you don't have a good kicker that can nail those extra points and nail a 55-yard field goal in overtime in the playoffs, then you got a problem on your hands. If you don't have a kicker that can kick, you know, religiously from 50 yards out, I mean, like a 52, 53, 54 yarder. You have to have that now. If you got a guy that only kicks 47 to 50 yards, that's his toe, you're doomed. Because in the NFL, it comes down to kicking. It comes down to overtime. It comes down to a last second field goal to tie it or send it into overtime or to win the game. And they bring out kickers. They trot them out there to put it all on their toe. And that's all there is to it. So I'm sitting here watching this game tonight and they're missing extra points left and right. Like, what do you need to know? It's a problem.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my, like, desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org. And subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get $50 off your first two orders plus free shipping with code STIR50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.